All right, and welcome to another episode of Sports Bears, an insight into the business world of pro sports. You're with your host, man, Zila, aka Chester Mbekela. And I hope everybody's doing well, man. Good morning from my side. You know, it's still chilly, it's still a chilly one coming all the way from Japan. But the seasons are starting to change. You know, people are getting the hay fevers and this and this and that and that. So yeah, we are going into the spring season, you know. And yeah, I can't believe this is going to be my seventh spring, you know, seventh summer coming up here in Japan. But we're appreciative and we just keep going, you know. It's been a crazy, crazy couple of years, you know, just I guess getting acclimated and living life over here. You know, I honestly had no idea I'd be here for this long, but Silap, still here. Anyway, so today is episode number 136. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, I think this should be episode number 136. And yeah, man, we just keep going with the sporting content. Exciting sporting content coming up today, as we're actually going to have a little bit of a chat about the J1 League, about the J League. So this past week or last weekend was the return of the J League. And round one proved to be an explosive round one. Like, because I don't know if you guys... Well, I know everyone who tunes in is an avid sports fan or an avid sports enthusiast. But I don't know about you guys, but usually the first game of the season is never really the most exciting game, you know, because it's usually a time when the guys are getting the cobwebs out, you know, you sort of getting that preseason, off-season fitness away, and now you're starting to develop your game fitness, you know. So you'd expect that the game has a lot of mistakes, that the game's a little scrappy here and there. But man, last weekend's round one of the J League, I promise you, was nothing but scrappy. You know, teams were putting up performances where you would swear it's right in the middle of the season. You know, but anyway, we're going to talk more about that and just how amazing, you know, certain teams are looking. And yeah, just a whole lot of... J1 League talk, and we'll see what else we have in store. Sometimes, you know, we go off tangent and we add in, you know, a little bit of content, but stay tuned for that. Do not go anywhere. We might talk a little bit of rugby as well, because I've also been following the Japan Rugby League. Yeah, Japan Rugby League One. I don't know why they changed it from Top League. Yeah, but anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about the Japan Rugby League One and, like, the most notable match. It's actually also up on Athlete Network. If you guys want to stream it, you know, we embedded the video of the game on our Athlete Network on www.athletenetwork.net. And you can check out the match of the weekend from, I think it was round 7 of the Japan Rugby League One. Amazing. Panasonic Wild Knights versus Suntory Sun Goliath. But anyway, again, we're going to talk about that more after the break. All right. So just stay tuned with me. Stay with me. I swear this is not a disorganized show. All right. All right. So we got to pay the bills, man. I'll see you guys after the break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here to help. Right. I know, you know, from my personal experience, man, when I was an athlete, when I was a player, you know, there'd be times I would go through, you know, feelings of like stress and anxiety, you know, stress to perform, you know, stress to play well, to make sure you play for that next contract. And, you know, I really wish that I had had, you know, certain like avenues to really vent and get out these frustrations and just have an objective party to talk to, right?
BetterHelp, man, it's a platform that offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you through, you know, your tough time or whatever you're going through. Now, you're able to talk to your therapist in private, an online environment at your convenience. So it's literally therapy wherever you may be, you know. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapists network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Imagine that, under 48 hours. Then you schedule a secure video and phone sessions, and then plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. And everything you share is 100% and completely confidential, right? What I've found helpful, man, with using a platform like BetterHelp, again, you know, is just their response time. That if you're going through something, you're able to talk with your therapist and share it right there and then, you know. My therapist, Mark, is so efficient, and I'm really happy that I'm working with him. All right, and then you can actually also request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime if the current therapist that you matched with doesn't work out for you. All right, so you don't need to stress and feel like you're trapped with one therapist. You can actually request to change. So join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Special offer to Sports Bears from an Agent's Perspective podcast listeners. So you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. All right. That's betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. Mbekela. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, and welcome back after that break. Man, I had to take a nice coffee break before recording this segment. As I said, yeah, it's pretty chilly out here. But yeah, before we get into today's episode, just a quick thank you to our further sponsors, our other sponsors. Thank you to Nike Australia, Nike Corporation. You know, shout out to them for keeping our relationship going. I think we're a year in now since we've been, you know, collaborative partners with Nike. So yeah, and it's been nothing but an absolute pleasure. And I mean, as we enter the new seasons, I guess both in the northern and southern hemispheres, they will be releasing, you know, their latest merchandise, and I'm sure people can check those out. I can't wait to see what their spring collection is going to be for us people in the northern hemisphere. I mean, you know, Nike, they always come with fire, man. You know, their design team, flip, what can you say? Honestly, what can you say? But yeah, when we do receive, you know, their merch and everything, we'll make sure to share it on our social network platforms so that people know where to get it and so that people know how it looks, you know, because that's the one thing about, you know, audio podcasting. It's the fact that when you're promoting a product, you sort of have to like paint a picture for the person. And sometimes, you know, visual is just always better. So yeah, we'll make sure to share it on our social network platforms. Always check out. I'm always on LinkedIn. I'm actually mostly on LinkedIn. Every now and then, I'll jump on my Facebook business page as well. I've recently started TikTok as well, TikToking as well. But I don't dance. I just upload things to do, you know, with Athlete Network, MAG Athlete Network, you know, the merchandise, our podcast merchandise, and everything else under the sun. All right? So make sure you get yourselves some merchandise. Make sure you check out the Nike online store. I'll make sure to drop the link on our Linktree. All right. So what we've started doing now is on the description of the podcast,
I share a Linktree link, which basically links all the, our business partnerships and our affiliate partnerships and so forth. All right, so make sure to check that out. And then thank you to MyProtein. You know, shout out to these guys for just, you know, giving us the sports nutrition that we need. You know, as it's 2024, for me, gym has never been a New Year's resolution. It's just something that I do, you know. It's become part of my lifestyle. It's literally like going to the bathroom and taking a piss. So thanking MyProtein for just always giving me the protein supplements that I need, you know, to keep my body healthy and for recovery. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, protein supplements is mostly to try and build and bulk muscle. Yes, that is one of their purpose. But another purpose that supplements actually serve is that they help you recover so that you can wake up and exercise more days in a week. You know, because when you're not using supplements, what usually happens is if you lift weights, especially if you lift heavy, because I like lifting heavy because it's therapeutic for me. When you're lifting heavy, you know, you get that muscle breakdown and all that stuff. And so what happens is the next day, you honestly, not to say you feel like shit, but your body just feels beat down and it's hard to get back up and go have another training session. So this is where protein supplements come in. This is where, you know, your brands like MyProtein really come into play, is that they provide you with the certain products, with the type of products that will help you after a hectic workout, sip on that stuff, and then your recovery time will be better so that tomorrow, if you want to work out again, you're able to. Or even if you don't want to work out, even if you just want to get up and just, you know, move around, go to work and all those things, it makes it that much easier so that you're not walking around stiff and in pain, you know, because that's what resistance training does to your body, you know, lifting weights and all that other resistance training is that you are sort of like beating your body down to build it back up, if you know what I mean. So that's where supplements help, man. And yeah, MyProtein, they've always been a solid brand. So make sure you check them out as well. We'll also drop their link on the description of the podcast along with the others. And then thank you to 365 Games. thank you to them, man, for, you know, just the latest gaming information. And yeah, like they say on their slogan, for the gamers, you know, make sure you check their online store. I'll make sure to share their link to their online store on the description of the podcast as well. All right. Okay. So in getting into today's episode, let's think, what do we want to talk about? Excuse me. I'm just going to get some water here quickly. All right. So what do we want to talk about? So as I said, today we're going to have a very exciting conversation just with regards to the J1 League. I mean, it's exciting times now. The season is back. By the way, you know, I think I've mentioned this on our blog post as well. You know, if you haven't seen it, sorry, excuse me, my throat is just clogging up. I think it's from all the coffee. You can check it out on our blog post that we posted about the change in schedule in the J League, I think from 2026, and it's already been approved, that the J League schedule is actually going to change from starting in February, and will, I think from the 2026-2027 season, it's going to begin in August. Yeah, it's going to start in August or September, one of those months. So make sure you read up on that, man, and what the changes will implicate. If you don't know where to get our blog, it's on www.athletenetwork.net. All right, so that is our sports social network that we are building, and just creating a community for athletes and just a place where teams and players, you know, and coaches are able to meet and collaborate. It's actually a platform for amateur, you know, amateur teams, amateur players, amateur coaches, where they can just negotiate and, you know, negotiate their own contracts with no intermediation from a sports agent or any other middleman, because as per FIFA, you know, FIFA agent rules, when it comes to amateur deals, agents are not allowed to earn any commission. All right. So that's why we came up with this idea to create a platform to allow the amateur ranks, the amateur ranks ecosystem, to meet with no intermediation, no interruptions, so that they're able to negotiate their contracts and get those deals done, you know, without our assistance. And they don't pay any commission to me. We don't charge any commission. All right. So make sure you check that out. And we've got other things. We've got blogs. Our podcast is also on there. We've also got the sports agents course, online course. People can check that out as well. I know I'm promoting my own shit, but I don't care. I'm just telling you guys about an ecosystem and something that can actually be helpful, you know, to anyone looking to get into the sports business or the ecosystem. All right. Part of this is just basically showing that you don't have to be an athlete all the time, because there are only so many open positions for athletes. Sometimes it's good to see how else can you get involved, and you don't always have to be a coach. All right. So that's why I created Becoming a Sports Agent and Building Your Agency Brand online course. It's also selling on Udemy as well. All right. So it's a proven product that it's working, and it is getting bought on Udemy. Yes, we're not the highest selling, but people are taking notice and they are buying the course on Udemy. The good thing is that on Athlete Network, the course is actually cheaper. We sell it at a lower price. All right. So if you want to check that out, you're welcome to. And if you want to learn about how to get into the business of professional sports, how to become an agent, you know, we've got the course right there. So those are the things that are available on Athlete Network. All right. That was just a quick plug. But anyway, back to the point that I was talking about. As I said, the J League schedule will change from 2026. And the main thing has been about the fact that teams are just complaining that the summers are just too hot. You know, summer in Japan is actually very hot. And a lot of Japanese people always get surprised when, you know, they talk to me and I tell them. And they always ask, oh, you know, you're from South Africa. And they always assume, here's the funny part. They always assume, they're always like, yeah, I bet Japan is, you know, very cool for you. I'm sure it's hotter in South Africa. And I always look at them, I'm like, no, actually, the summer here in Japan is hotter than summer in South Africa. And that blows them away. That blows them away. They're like, what? Honto ne? How? And I'm like, firstly, South Africa is below the equator. So as much as, yes, it's hot in South Africa as well, there are parts of South Africa that are hot, very hot, like, well, my Upington, you know, the Northern Cape. Gauteng in summer is also pretty hot. Even the Eastern, well, the Eastern Cape has gotten colder. But anyway, Yeah, I tell them that, no, it's below the equator. And the bulk of South Africa is not humid. Only Durban is humid. So I'm like, but Japan, picture this, Japan everywhere, except for Hokkaido, is pretty much like Durban weather. It's humid. It's just humidity. You know, so they always get very surprised by that. So the point is, so in the J1 League, I think so many teams have just been complaining about playing in the heat, and they would rather, you know, play towards the fall and heading into the winter. But again, this came with a lot of blowback, because now the teams in the colder parts of Japan, like your Nagano, Niigata, and stuff like that, they also came out with their complaints, and they're like, guys, you forget, we come, you know, our regions are very snowy and they get very cold, and they were doubting whether their stadiums are properly equipped to, you know, to handle the snowy conditions and so forth and so forth and so forth. And again, a compromise here, and this is what I like about the J League, you know, their front office, the committee and stuff like that. They were like, no, look, and the Japan Football Association, they're like, no, look, we'll definitely fund the renovation of the stadiums in the very cold and snowy regions, so that it's able to accommodate, you know, when it hits December and those regions are just covered in snow and stuff like that. But they were like, no, look, we'll make sure we prepare way ahead of time. It's still another 2 years before this is implemented. So I guess in these 2 years, they're going to start doing the renovations. Who knows? They might probably start building the type of stadiums whereby maybe they are able to close at the top so that the snow doesn't fall onto the grass. Who knows how they're going to do it? But they have committed to providing the funds to assist those teams, because those were the only, how can I say, those are the only teams that were against the changing of the schedules. But I think the vote, you know, they were definitely outvoted, because the majority of the teams voted in favor of changing the schedule, you know. And I mean, this will be a good thing. It's really going to make the international transfers that much easier. I mean, it's really going to, because it's going to coincide with the European leagues and all the other major leagues that also run from, you know, August, September through to the next year, March, April, May, June, and so forth and so forth and so forth. So international transfers are going to become really easier. So it's going to make the agent's job a little more easier as well, you know. So yeah, because one of the shortfalls of seasons not coinciding is the fact that a club will be very reluctant to sign a player when they are unsure of their game fitness and amount of game time, because maybe that player is now in their off season and that league is ongoing. You know, it's part of the reason why, I promise you, I remember introducing a player to a club in just when I just started in the sports agency biz in 2021. I introduced a player to a club, and this guy was coming from, he wanted to come from Europe, and everything was ticking off, man. He, you know, just his gaming highlights were amazing. Everything, he was ticking all the boxes, but the team turned around and looked at me and said, but yeah, we don't feel he's played enough games for us to consider signing him because we're not sure about his match fitness. That totally, man, I was like, what? They're like, yes, we look at these type of things. They're like, the gap between when his season ended and where we are now is just too massive, and we don't have time to get a player and make him try catch up in terms of game fitness. You know, so it just always created that little issue. So after 2026, I think it's going to make, you know, guys who want to come from Europe to come and play in Japan, it's going to make that path a whole lot easier, you know. So yeah, more information on that later on. But yeah, like I said, I've already written about this and talked about it in my blog. I just thought I'd mention it now because the season is back and so forth. But yeah, just in talking about some of the games that we've watched. First game I watched was Kawasaki Frontale versus Shonan Bellmare. Both teams from Kanagawa. First of all, I have no clue how Shonan Bellmare survived not being relegated. But shout out to them, man. They keep sneaking away from being relegated, and I don't know how they do it, but yeah, they got to keep on doing it. But anyway, they definitely went into this game as the underdogs, because I think for the past 4 seasons now, Shonan Bellmare haven't really shown much. They haven't really given me much to, you know, to really speak about in terms of them being an elite football club in Japan, you know, soccer club in Japan. So, yeah, they went into this game as underdogs, and rightly so. They actually surprised me because they scored first. You know, they were 1-0 up. They were playing at home. The game was being played in Hiratsuka, which is actually not too far from where I live now. So they played in Hiratsuka, and they managed to score first. I was like, nah, just, you know, early season luck type of thing. And obviously, Kawasaki Frontale, looking a little fragile after they released their star striker last season, Demiao. You know, they were able to equalize. and they scored another goal. And just the intensity of the game, I don't know. I mean, Shonan Belmar gave me exactly what I expected, which was, you know, below par performance. But Kawasaki Frontale, yeah, they really are not looking like the championship team that they were. But I'm not going to judge them too early. It was the first game. Maybe they're still getting the cobwebs out. But I don't want to give them too much. Leniency. I don't want to give them too much leniency because they are one of the teams that had carried on playing in the offseason because they were still in the Asian Champions League. So you would expect that a team that's been playing right throughout or practicing, yeah, and playing right throughout the offseason would be in better form. But it was disappointing. But they ended up winning the game 2-1. Credit to them. Shout out to them. Congratulations to them. But I just, I wasn't really impressed. It wasn't an impressive game, you know. But the good thing is that the turnout at the game was amazing. The people really came out to support their teams. So I guess all in all, it was a good showcase. It was a great game of football, but for a first game. But I wasn't too impressed. Okay, next game that we watched, and welcome to the newcomers, the team that got promoted last year, Machida Zelvia. It's too soon to tell or to really judge what they're like, but they really, you know, put a few pieces together, and a good couple of plays to draw the match against Cerezo Osaka. You know, it was a great game because Cerezo Osaka, they've actually proven to be better than the team that's supposed to be the main team from Osaka, which was Gamba. But last season, Cerezo Osaka on many occasions proved that they were the superior team in Osaka. And actually, Zelvia Machida came from behind to tie the match 1-1, you know, against Cerezo Osaka. So I guess I am a little bit impressed because they've just come into the forefront and they haven't lost a match yet. So we'll give them that. We'll give them that. But yeah, congratulations to them. Vissel Kobe played against Jubilo Iwata. And, you know, Vissel Kobe, man, you know, winning the championship, winning the league last season has definitely upped their confidence because they went into that first game, man, and they were there to show dominance. They were there to stamp their authority that they want to maybe try go for a repeat this year. They want to show that last season was not a fluke, you know. Just how clinical they were in that game against Iwata. Scored some amazing goals. You know, they won the game. They won the game 2-1 as well. It wasn't a very high-scoring affair this past weekend. And I guess it's because it's a new season. But credit to Vissel Kobe, man. They really played well. You know, that Yuya Osako is... Yeah, he's just growing from strength to strength. Him winning MVP last season also played a major part. And I think this season, he'll also want to show that last season he didn't win that MVP award, you know, by mistake, that he really is the real deal. You know, so credit to him, credit to them, and congratulations to Vissel Kobe. That was actually a very entertaining game. It was fast. It was so quick. Okay, and then now moving on to what I consider as what was the game of the weekend, and that was a packed game. That game was packed, man. The atmosphere was amazing. And that was Yokohama F. Marinos, who went up against, again, newcomers also in the league, a team that recently got promoted, Tokyo Verdy. All right, so they played against Tokyo Verdy. And it was nearly an upset. They were playing in Yokohama. Or were they playing at the Tokyo Olympic Stadium? Yeah, my mistake. They were actually playing at the Tokyo Olympic Stadium in Tokyo, and the turnout was massive, you know, for a first game. I'm pretty sure that was a sold-out game, you know. And I think Tokyo Verdy, one of the things that they're always going to be fortunate about, and all the teams from Tokyo, you know, which includes FC Tokyo as well, and you know, Zalvia, Machida, all these teams from Tokyo have the fan base, you know. They have the fan base. So, I mean, Tokyo Verdy, they had, you know, the people in numbers. Yokohama F Marinos also have a big fan base from Yokohama. So there was a big turnout as well. But I guess, you know, rising to the occasion, Tokyo Verdy was fortunate enough to score first. You know, they scored first and they had Yokohama F Marinos shook, you know. But Yokohama F Marinos were fortunate to get a penalty where their star striker, you know, Anderson Lopez, converted and the match was 1-1. And obviously, you know, with Yokohama F Marinos, once they get a sniff that they can come back and win the game, they usually do. Because it didn't take long before they were able to hammer home a second one. Again, another game that ended in a 2-1 victory. But yeah, all in all, not a high-scoring affair. Not, you know, the teams, there's no team that won like 5-0 or whatever now. They were all close contests. I guess you can also see that the teams have signed, you know, key players in the right positions. So the competition has been upped for all teams now. The gap is starting to close between the teams. So, and that can only be accredited also to the fact that the immigration borders are open now. So teams are able to, you know, transfer players and get players from overseas, from other big leagues, for them to come and play for them. All right, so, but yeah, that was a game of the weekend, man. It was an explosive match, just like the Vissel Kobe versus Iwata. It was also close contest. It was quick. It was physical. The players are looking fit. Yokohama F Marinos, it's not surprising because just like Kawasaki Frontale, they were also playing pretty much throughout the preseason and off season. You know, they've also been in the Asia Champions League. And I think they're through to the next round. So this is a team that hasn't really had much rest, you know. That can be a gift and a curse, not to lie to you. That can honestly be a gift and a curse. Because if their players are currently at their peak during this early in the season, that means that they might hit a decline during this season. You know, so I just hope the training staff are managing the players well, because the one thing you don't want is your players to peak too early and then start dropping off when it really counts, when they actually need to be at their peak, which is for this season in the J League. It's usually around June, July, August. July, August, yeah, is usually when you want your players to be at your peak. So I just hope they're going to be able to maintain that. But otherwise, F Marinos, they're looking like the championship team they were two seasons ago. I think last season, they were unlucky. They were really unlucky. But, excuse me, man. They're still looking like a championship outfit. So we'll see how things fare on. Like I say, too early to make any calls about who I think is going to win the league again. I mean, this was game one. All right, we're going to take it one game at a time. But I just love providing feedback and just commenting on what I saw from the J1 League. All right. I know I promised you guys rugby content as well. And I guess just to quickly talk about the game of the weekend, I think it was for round 7, which was Panasonic Wild Knights and the Suntory Sun Goliath, man. That match was amazing. Guys, I think if anyone was watching that game on TV, they'd agree that was must-see TV. Chesney Colby, Damian Dalinda, man. And, you know, as a South African, you become so proud when you watch you know, South African players just dominate a league. Because in those two games, those two guys really, they did well. They did very well. They represented their country very well. They represented their teams very well. And I think it was just unlucky. And that game could have gone either direction. It really could have gone either direction. I think Suntory were unlucky not to win, but credit to Panasonic Wild Knights. And credit to Damian Dialinda, man. He's one of those guys. He makes the right plays at the right time, you know. One thing I will say about Damian Dialinda, and I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, but one thing I'll say about that guy, Damian Dialinda makes big plays in big games. He definitely has BMT. That is the one thing I can say about Damian Dialinda. And he's always had BMT, even before he became a Bok. I remember the first time watching him play for like Western Province and the Stormers. I would always be amazed at how this guy, in the big matches, he would make big plays. You know? And it was no surprise, honestly, when he became a Springbok. Yes, there are times he doesn't pass. There are times, you know, people get pissed off at him. But the one thing that we can never take away from Damian is his consistency and the fact that he makes big plays in big games. You know, he's a big-time player. BMT, baby. That's all that matters. Because for me, I've never had respect for players who shine against weak opposition. I honestly have never. And that's why, if we're talking about, and again, this is just a side note, if we're going to talk about the best number eights to ever don the Springbok jersey, I will never put PSPs ahead of Dwayne Vermeulen. Never. Because for me, I feel like Dwayne Vermeulen made big plays in big games. Dwayne Vermeulen was the type of guy we could depend on to take on like the All Blacks and stuff like that and really bring his A game against New Zealand, the likes. I can count on my one hand the number of times I felt PSP's had a good game against opposition like New Zealand and Australia. Don't get me wrong, Spies was phenomenal when we played against like your Italy's and England as well, when England wasn't really much of a competition for us. He was him. But as soon as you gave him Australia and New Zealand, and this actually was something he was criticized for on the SA Rugby magazine, where they said that in big games, we don't see much of him. In the biggest of matches, we didn't see much of him. But we did with Dwayne, man. Dwayne came to the bigger the game, the bigger the occasion, the bigger the game Dwayne Vermeulen would have. So that's why, like I'm saying, that's the side note I'm making. And that is why Damian, for me as well, I put him in that category, that he actually is one of the best 12s out there, because, man, the guy just makes big plays. And I mean, he was man of the match after that match, after that game. He was man of the match. And by no surprise, in all honesty, by no surprise. But yeah, anyway, you can check out that game. Like I said, it's on Athlete Network. You can check out on our sports highlights section on Athlete Network. And you can check out the match of the weekend. That was round 7. It was phenomenal. All right. And let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. And obviously, it's in highlights, so they don't show everything that Damian did. But the snippets of that game make you believe that, okay, it's no surprise that Damian Dialinda was the man of the match for this game, because he just did everything right, man. His attack, his defense, it was just on point that day. And obviously, you know what you're going to get from Cheslin Kolbe. Cheslin Kolbe is amazing. And yeah, man, his attack is just so clinical and spot on as well, you know. So those guys really, they put on a show. They really put on a show for the fans. And there was a good turnout at the stadium, a very good turnout. But yeah, it's been good following a bit of rugby again. But that's literally the only rugby I follow, is just the Japan Rugby League one, because I'm so busy with the football and other sports, mostly with the football, that that's the only rugby I can follow. But hey, I'll take it. I'll take it. Anyway, guys, so that is your sporting content for today, man. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. It's always a pleasure for me, man. Like I always say, I'm always grateful that I'm in a position whereby I played sport, you know, played sports for many years, and now I've got the privilege of just being able to share my sporting thoughts, because all of us view the game and we see the game differently, you know. So obviously each person will have their own opinion, and like I said, I'm not a media we're a sports social network media company and, you know, sports agency, but I'm not a big house media company where my job is to report. I'm not reporting the news here. I'm sharing my opinion, my thoughts on how I experienced and continue to experience sports, you know, now as just a person who's an observer, you know. So it's always a privilege, man. And I don't take it, you know, for granted. I don't take it for granted one bit. All right. Yeah, you know, just sport in general has a very special place in my heart. So to just bring content and to just talk about it is nothing but a privilege for me. All right, and thank you to those, man, and thank you to everyone who just keeps supporting me to keep doing these, you know, episodes, you know, these podcast episodes. I really appreciate it. And yeah, long may we continue, man. We go until the wheels fall off. And that's a promise. We go until the wheels fall off. All right. And thank you. Thank you so much for your guys' continued support. And you can keep supporting the podcast. Make sure you check out our merch. As I said, in December, we dropped new merch that's also Japanese inspired. It's got Japanese kanji writing. But we've got dozens of other new merch that also dropped in December, January. Make sure to check that out on our merch website, which is www.sportsbizpodcastmerch.com. Make sure to check that out, man. And if you see what you like, yeah, cop a purchase. It's supporting the channel, it's supporting the podcast, you know, so it would be greatly appreciated by me. But yeah, only if you see what you like, man. But yeah, thank you. And that's how you can support the podcast. All right. But anyway, guys, I'm going to get on out of here, get my day started. I hope all of you have a lovely day. Stay happy, you know, and whatever you want to do in this life, man, go after it, guys, go after it. Life keeps moving on. Don't wait for that opportunity. Just go after it. Go after what you want. Do it. All right. Anyway, I'll see you guys on the next episode, man. All right. This is Zila, a.k.a. Chester Mbekela, and yeah, take it easy. And in Japanese, we say otsukaresama, otsukaresama desu, which means see you next time. All right, have a good day, have a good evening, goodbye. And remember our sporting slogan, man, for this podcast: we don't only talk sports, we lived it. We effing lived it. We fucking lived it.